Okay, go ahead and open your Bible to Hebrews chapter 5. Actually, I want to back up into 4 just a little bit. We're going to camp for a little bit on a particular verse. Book of Hebrews, isn't it a great book? Great, it's a great book to study and how needful it is for us today. Very needful. It really gives us this picture of who Jesus is and what he has accomplished for us. We saw last week in Hebrews chapter 4, look at verse 14. He says, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Pay close attention in verse 14, two words. We have presently a great high priest. Now, again, as we've talked about that, when you talk about a high priest doesn't really stir us. It would stir the Jews because they had great respect for the position of one as a high priest. And it would mean something. We're going to kind of look at Jesus as our high priest. And what does he call us to do because Jesus has passed through the heavens as our high priest? Hold fast our confession. Your confession of Jesus has meaning. It has great value. And that's who we have. Hold fast our confession. Real quick, back up to chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to show you this. Therefore, holy brethren, partakers of a heavenly calling, consider Jesus the apostle and high priest of our confession. He's the apostle of our confession. What's the apostle? Why does he call him the apostle? All right, an apostle is one sent. He was sent by God. So guess who he is? He is that one that's sent by God. And what else? Our high priest of our confession. When we confess Jesus as Lord, as the Son of God, as our Savior, guess where he stands for you and me? He stands in the presence of God as our high priest. He's our representative that he can express everything to God that God needs to hear about us and for us. How precious does that make Jesus? Means everything. How precious does that make him as your high priest? Kind of brings all that into focus, doesn't it? Look at verse 15. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. What do we learn about Jesus, our high priest there? He can sympathize with our weaknesses. Remember last week we identified that term weaknesses? What does he mean by weaknesses? We got a lot of them. Yeah. All right. Limitations. Weaknesses, some versions use the term infirmities, but there it's about limitations. And sometimes we are limited in how far we can go. Sometimes we think in terms we can't go any further. Who is Jesus? Does he understand man's limitations? Sure he does. And so understanding that, he can sympathize with our weaknesses because what has he gone through? He was tempted in everything without sin. So understanding our limitations. Now, think about in terms of Jesus can sympathize with our weaknesses. Do you think the devil knows our limitations as a human? Oh, absolutely. So what do you think he's going to tempt you in? Yeah, everything that we cannot do, he's going to try to get you to believe that you're limited, that God doesn't care. So we need to understand who Jesus is. He can sympathize, verse 16. Now here's the verse I want to camp on. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What do we need when we're limited? Mercy? For what? Who do you show mercy to? What's he just been talking about? Weaknesses? And so you show mercy to people who fail. So here's this high priest before God. He's been tempted in everything, but he never sinned. And guess what he's able to do? Mercy. And then what else? What does he call the throne of God? Where Jesus sitting at the right hand of the God? What does he call it? A throne of grace. And what's grace for? Grace is God's power to give you when you can't go any further. That's what grace is for. To give you this favor from God when you can't go any further. He calls it a throne of grace. And I want us to look at that for just a minute. I want you to see why we miss things because we don't understand what a throne of grace is for. I want you to come back to 2 Corinthians 12 with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to see this in real life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, in the first six verses, Paul begins to explain that he was caught up into this third heaven. The Jews had three heavens. They had the heaven above us. There was a second heaven back at the stars and on out. And the third heaven was where God is. And Paul said, I was caught up into paradise, and I heard words forbidden to be spoken by man. Now, if you've been given those kind of words from God, what might you ought to do with that? What would you do? Be tempted to do? I'm special. I'm special above all humans. You hear people today, a lot of them, and you may have heard them on even the TV evangelists we have all over our nation today. Oh, the Lord told me this word. What are they saying? I'm special. He gave me something he didn't give you. Well, here Paul got some words, and God knew what might be the possibility with Paul. Look at verse 7. Because of the surpassing greatness of the revelation, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself. Is that the reason? Could Paul possibly exalt himself? When you see all these other people exalting themselves, they got a real problem with God. To keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. What did God give Paul? He called him called it a thorn in the flesh. Where was it from? Satan. You want to see what Satan has no value of you or mankind? It was from Satan to torment. When you talk about torment, what does that imply? What does that give you the impression? I mean, you talk about painful. So here was this messenger from Satan to torment me, and he says it again at the end of verse 7, to keep me from exalting myself. If you want to lose your soul real quick, be arrogant. Be prideful. God's opposed to the proud. And here is Paul, an apostle, heard these words. So guess what God has to make sure Paul understands? I don't want you to be arrogant. Don't exalt Paul thinking Paul is better and above everybody else. So God sent this messenger from Satan to him. Look at what happens. Verse 8. Concerning this, I implored the Lord three times that it might leave me. This torment was so bad, what did Paul want? Yeah, and did he ask God to take it away? I asked God three times, take it away. Sometimes we pray, and God gives us an answer. And to Paul, verse 9, and he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. The power of God is perfected in what? Weakness. And so God told Paul, what do you need? You need my grace. You need to see how grace works. You're not going to take away the messenger of Satan, this thorn? No. My grace is sufficient for you to give you the ability to go beyond where you are. Here's Paul's response to God's grace. The middle of verse 9. Most gladly. Look at his attitude. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What's Paul's attitude about this messenger from Satan? Glad. I'm thankful. I'm grateful. Because you know what I understand when you're weak, when you have these limitations? You know what I know? That's when the power of God is the greatest to you and to me and to him. And God's power has brought you to completeness, perfection, because of grace. You can find what you need. And notice at the end of verse 9, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. What did he want? What was Paul looking at? The power of Christ. I want grace of God. I'm coming to the throne of grace, and God has said, the power of Christ would dwell in me. This great high priest who's passed through the heavens can sympathize with weaknesses, and guess what's available? Grace, which is the power of Christ. That's how it comes. And see, we don't understand grace very much. We don't turn to the throne of grace very often because we don't understand how Christ works. We think we're limited. We think we need this taken away. God said, no, no, no. You need my grace. That is sufficient. Now, was it sufficient for Christ when he walked on this earth? Was the grace of God sufficient for Jesus? And what did the grace of God do for Jesus at the most worst times in his life? I mean, it gave him power to go beyond his limitations. And here Paul, guess what he finds in the middle of all this? Just to keep me from exalting myself? He knew that's what it was worth. He knew the power of Christ. And that I would find the power of Christ no matter how difficult it becomes. What do most people do today when things become unbearable? They give up. You know, when things become difficult, when you make a move to the Lord or away from the Lord to another means, that tells you where your faith rests. You need to be aware of that. You know, we look in our day in society and people get to a point, I just can't cope. Where do they generally turn? They turn to the world's means, and how does the world handle situations they can't cope with? They'll either give up or, drugs. They turn to pills, man's remedies. And what gets left out? The grace of God, the power of Christ. It's there. We need to see it's there. Most gladly, therefore, he said. Look at verse 10. Therefore, listen to his words. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses. Are you? With insults. I don't have to take that from you. I don't have to take that from anybody. I'm not your doormat. Guess what Paul said? I would gladly take. I'm content to taking insults. With distresses. Oh, can you imagine? I'm very content with distresses. With persecutions. Difficulties. For Christ's sake. For when I'm weak, I am strong. Does he know something about the grace of God? Does he know something about the power of Christ? So, just taking that, well content with all these things, and a lot of people run around and what are we doing? Griping, complaining. Life's not fair. Was it fair for Paul? I mean, why is he in prison? Was he in prison for the sake of Christ? He didn't do anything wrong. He wasn't a criminal. I'm well content for Christ's sake. So Christ can dwell in me, his grace. I'm strong. And how did he handle all that prison? But you don't understand what I'm going through. Well, I wish I'd have had a nickel for every time I've heard that in my life. Do we have to understand? Does Christ? Does he understand your weaknesses, your limitations? So what do we need to do? Come back to Hebrews 4. So what do we need to do? Yes, ma'am. That's a good. There you go. And that's a good point you make. Our mind needs to be set on things after the Spirit of God and after the Spirit of Christ, doing it His way instead of what's natural. And that's what the comment's being made. Verse 16, therefore, let us draw near with confidence when you're hurting so bad. Is there an answer? Yes. Have some confidence to the throne of grace so that we may receive mercy and grace to help in time of need. See, you don't turn to the throne of grace, guess what you won't receive? You won't receive mercy for where you failed, and you won't find the power of Christ. Is there? See, you see how this works? You see what we need to be doing? See what we need to be focused on? This is why we need to learn more about the purpose of the grace of God, His unmerited favor to you and to me, and turn to the right place at the most difficult time. Go ahead. It's a good point. That finishes out Shay's thought. Yeah, there's no power in the flesh side. You know, a lot of times we're convinced I'm going to do it myself. And guess what's not going to happen? So you go back and you look at these things. See, what are you learning through all of this? What are we learning? Do what? Put your faith in Christ. There's where the power is. He's passed through the heavens. He's this great high priest that's appeared in the presence of God for us and that He can help. He wants to help. But if you turn the wrong direction in your moment of weakness, now, even if you turned the wrong direction and you made a wrong step, what's available? Mercy. You can come back here. Mercy and grace to help in your time of need. Questions or comments of that? Yes. To us, yeah, through He does through His work. When someone tells me that God spoke to me, you know, my first question back to them, what did He sound like? You know, yeah, see there, why didn't He speak to me? Are you special? God spoke to me. He speaks through His word. The Hebrew writer says, in these last days, guess who He's spoken through? His Son. And we need to pay attention there. Go ahead. Yes. Yes. Good point. Good point. One thing I forgot. I thought of it as we were talking through this. He says back here in 2 Corinthians 12:9 that the power of Christ may dwell in me. That word dwell is a very interesting word. It's a word tabernacle. That the power of Christ may tabernacle, take up a place and watch over me. He's tabernacling with us. So this, I just want to throw that in. I just thought it was an interesting word. Now back in chapter 5 of Hebrews. Now he begins to explain this high priest role, this throne of grace. Verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed on behalf of men in things pertaining to God in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Every high priest, they know this. And he brings up four things here in a row. Tell me what you learn about the high priest. Four things about high priests that are taken from among men. All right. Things in pertaining to God. Did Jesus deal with things pertaining to God? Every moment of his life, yes. So, things pertain to God, the spiritual things that we need in our life. Jesus did that, and we just read it back in verse 14 of chapter 4. Every high priest is taken from among men. Was Jesus taken from among men? Oh, yeah. Back in chapter 2, verse 14, he tells us, therefore, that children share in flesh and blood. He himself likewise partook of the same. So guess who Jesus was taken from among? He was taken from among men. He says here in verse 1, they're appointed how? On behalf of men. Was Jesus appointed on man's behalf? Was he tempted in everything too? See, he understands. So this is how our high priest, Jesus, and we're going to learn a little later in Hebrews, Jesus could not be a high priest according to Levitical priesthood today. There's a reason for that. And then he says at the end of verse 5, in order to offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Did Jesus offer gifts and sacrifices? What were they? Himself. He offered himself back to God as a gift of God, as part of God, as a sacrifice for God. I'm that. So that's what makes him a high priest. Continue on verse 2. He can deal gently with the ignorant and misguided, since he himself is also beset with weaknesses. High priest, man high priest, guess what they were beset with? Weaknesses. And guess what he called that some of those high priests were? They can deal gently with who? With the ignorant and the misguided. One of the things, if you go back and read in Leviticus chapter 4, Leviticus chapter 4, when he talks about the sin offering, that there's a high priest or judges or common people, when they sin, he says they sin unintentionally. They didn't intend to sin, but they do. Now, under that old system, one thing God never tolerates from any man, from any high priest. Do you know what that would be? He never tolerated high-handed rebellion. When you know something's wrong to do and you go ahead and do it anyway, what is that? And I have heard people saying, well, I'll just go ask God to forgive me, and that's high-handed rebellion. But when a person sins unintentionally, they live their life, They don't want to sin. They don't intend to sin, but they do. Guess what you can do? Guess what they find? So the high priest can deal gently with the ignorant and the misguided because he's beset with weaknesses too. Because you see, the high priest had to bring an offering for his sin too and his weaknesses. So this is what makes Jesus so qualified. Continue on, verse 3. And because of it, he is obligated to offer sacrifices for sins as for the people and for himself. He's obligated. Did Jesus do that? Absolutely. Verse 4. And no one takes honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God, even as Aaron. How did a high priest become a high priest? He's called by God. Was Aaron called by God? Was Jesus called by God as a high priest like Aaron? Look at verse 5 and he'll explain this to us. So also Christ did not glorify himself so as to become a high priest, but he who said to him, "You are my son. Today I have begotten you." Just as he also said in another passage, "You are a priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek." There at the end of verse 5, he quotes out of Psalms 2:7. Now, what does he mean there? "You are my son." God called him that. At what point was Jesus called a high priest? Does anyone know? Paul quotes this very same thing. And Paul explains to us, here's how Jesus was called as a high priest. Come back to Acts 13. Let's look at this. Acts 13. As Paul quotes this psalm. Look at verse 33. That God has fulfilled this promise to our children, and that he raised up Jesus, as it also written in the second psalm, "You are my son, today I have begotten you." The promise was given that Jesus was a high priest at what point? He called him son. At what point? When he was raised up. The day that God rose Jesus from the dead, "You are my son. You are the appointed high priest." But his appointment as high priest wasn't of Aaron, because what always happened to high priests? They died. He was according to the order of whom? Melchizedek. You know anything about Melchizedek? We don't know where he came from. Don't know where he went. Melchizedek was appointed high priest forever. Jesus didn't come from the lineage of the Levites and Aaron. He came from the lineage of Melchizedek. So his priest, his high priesthood is maintained forever. He's always going to be there in that role, that position. All right, any questions or comments? Now he's going to go on in here in chapter 5, explaining the order of Melchizedek. We won't touch it today. And we'll see about what Jesus went through as becoming a high priest appointed by God forever. We'll stop it there today. Next week, Kerry will have class and he'll take forward from here. Thank you so much.